Well, good morning. Welcome to Resurrection Church. That was, wow, I can just sit there and worship all day long. Mia, that was wonderful. I mean, and to hear a little snippet of your story and just he who has been forgiven much loves much, or she, you know, and we have a gracious God, and we are going to spend the rest of eternity praising and worshiping him. So let's pray. Father, thank you so much for just the time of worship and just a reminder of your grace, Lord, and your mercy, and how you reached down to us, Lord, and pick us up out of the pits of life, and you set us on a rock, Lord, and you have purpose and favor for our lives, God, that would glorify you. And each person here, Lord, and each one watching online, Lord, you have a special purpose and plan for each one, Lord. And I pray, Lord, that as we dig into your word, Lord, that we would see Jesus, and Lord, that you would speak to us. Lord, this is your word. Who am I, Lord, to be up here? I pray the prayer that Jeremiah prayed, and you gave to Jeremiah. You say, I will put my words in your mouth. Lord, I just pray that these would be your words, and that your word, Lord, your Holy Spirit, would give power and anointing to this, and lead this time, and pray for your, just that our eyes would be on Jesus, and that we would just see the answer, and that we would be encouraged by him, Lord. And we invite the presence of God here in a special way. We just thank you and praise you that we can do this, Lord, in freedom, and just we just give our hearts to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, if you have your Bibles today, open up to Genesis chapter 18, and we've been going through the book of Genesis, and we're going to do a section, the last section of Genesis 18, a very familiar chapter, and I started it last week, but last week we talked about friendship with God, but today I'm going to talk about prayer, specifically intercessory prayer, and the example that is found in the story of Abraham. Abraham, of course, is called by God in Genesis chapter 12 to go to a land which God will show him, and God promises to make him a mighty nation and give him land and to make him a blessing to the world, right? And of course, we've been following his story with his victories and defeats, and he is now in the promised land. It's 13 years after the birth of Ishmael. He's been waiting. And God appears in Genesis 18 and basically says that I'm going to bring a child through Sarah, your wife. Sarah, of course, is listening from the tent and, of course, laughs to herself. And he says, is there anything too difficult for the Lord? This time next year, you're going to have a child. You're going to have a baby shower, Sarah, so get ready. So invite your friends. But then he says in chapter 18 and verse 16, it says this, then the men rose from there. These are the two men that came. These are actually angels that came with the Lord God who came to visit Abraham. Then the men rose up from there and looked down towards Sodom, and Abraham was walking with them to send them off. Now remember that Abraham's nephew Lot lives in Sodom. Abraham had actually had to help the Sodom people out before in chapter 14 when Lot was taken captive by these kings of the east. So Abraham has some familiarity with Sodom, but Abraham was walking with them to send them off. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham what I am about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed. I love what the Lord says there, because I'm going to use Abraham to bless the world. I think I'm going to let him on some of what I'm going to do. It's interesting, when you walk with the Lord, the things that God reveals to you. See, there's this relationship that's going on with you and the Lord, right? And the Lord begins to reveal as you walk with him, marquees in the future. Follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. There's this part of the Lord and walking with God where this revelation of the things he wants to do in and through us, no matter who we are. We could be an old, 100-year-old, or pushing 100, old man, and he still wants to do things for our lives. Like, you've never reached the point of your life where you've reached the end of God's usefulness for you. No matter what age you're at, David is called as a young boy. He's anointed king when he's a young kid. And who knew Samuel, David, none of them knew what God had in store for David. Shall I hide from Abraham what I'm about to do, since Abraham will surely become a great and mighty nation, and in him all the nations of the earth will be blessed? We are sitting here as children of Abraham. There is no limits of God what he wants to do through our lives. The only limitations is right here. If you've reached a point where you think God can't use me, you've got the wrong God. God is in the business. Bring glory to himself in amazing ways. So, for I have chosen him, or I have known him, so that he may command his children, that's his children, immediate children, and then the children of Israel, and his household after him, to keep the way of the Lord by doing righteousness and justice. Of course, the Israelites are reading this, they're children of Abraham, and of course, so that the Lord may bring upon Abraham what he has spoken about. And then the Lord said, the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah is indeed great, and their sin is exceedingly grave. And the outcry refers to the outcry of the oppressed that are there. It's the same word that's used for the outcry of the slaves in Egypt, crying out to God and other places. I will go down now and see if they have done entirely according to its outcry, which has come to me, and if not, I will know. Then the men turned away from there and went towards Sodom. So there's a scene. Abraham is walking with them. The two men, which are angels, are now going to go down to Sodom. Abraham is on a part of the plane. And Abraham was standing before the Lord. This is going to be so key. In fact, my whole message can be around this one. Abraham stood standing before the Lord. Right there. I could stop right here and say, this is going to be the message. Your position before God is so vital, you don't realize it. Abraham is going to be standing before the idea of standing before the Lord is used with the idea of interceding. We see later on Jeremiah where God uses the same phrase where it says, if Moses were to stand before me, i.e. in intercession, in that case he says, I'm not going to listen to you. The people of Israel have gone so far, but it's a position before the Lord, right? It's going to be a position for the Lord. Abraham was standing before the Lord, this vital position before it. And Abraham came near and said to God, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Now we're going to read this whole thing, then we'll get into the details of this. But just catch Abraham's heart. Catch Abraham's heart. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you indeed sweep it away, not spare the place for the sake of the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to slay the righteous with the wicked, so that the righteous and the wicked are treated alike. Far be it from you. Shall not the judge of all the earth deal justly? So the Lord said, if I find in Sodom 50 righteous within the city, then I will spare the whole place on their account. And Abraham replied, now, behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord, although I am but dust and ashes. Who am I? But I'm just, suppose the 50 righteous are lacking 5. Will you destroy the whole city because of 5? He says, I will not destroy if I find 45 there. And he spoke yet again and said, suppose 40 are found there. I will not do it on account of the 40. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry, and I shall speak. Suppose there are 30 found there. He says, I will not do it if I find in there 30. And he said, now behold, I have ventured to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there. I'm wondering if his voice is going, suppose 20 are found there? A little sheepishly. I will not destroy it on account of the 20. Then he said, oh, may the Lord not be angry. I'm on thin ice, I believe. And I shall only speak this once. Suppose 10 are found there. He said, I will not destroy it on account of 10. And as soon as he had finished praying or finished speaking to Abraham, the Lord departed and returned to his place. Now, a lot of us have read this and it's very familiar, but there's such rich insights into the position of prayer. Abraham, of course, is one who has walked with God, right? He has left Ur of the Chaldeans when God called him out of faith. Leave your country, leave your father's house to a land I will show you. I'm not going to show you, I'll just leave, and then I'll show you when you get there. Sometimes we want the whole flight plan beforehand, right? Give me the flight plan. Well, if you're a pilot, you want the flight plan, right? But the rest of us, we don't get the flight plan always. It's by faith, right? And God has been faithful, and there's been times in Abraham's life where he has been fearful. He went to Egypt, hey, this is my wife. No, it's actually my sister. Hint, hint. And God got him out of that. You know, this has been, you know, Abraham's had this walk with the Lord, right? He's learning to wait on the Lord. I'm going to give you a child, and 20 some odd years pass. He's told he's going to have a child, you know, 13 years ago. Yeah, I'm going to have a child. Or actually, maybe it's through Hagar. No. It's going to be through your wife, Sarah. Abraham has had to learn, but Abraham has learned in his walk with God what God's like and the nature of God. And this is one crucial thing. In prayer, you sense here in Abraham that he knows, he has this relationship with God. He says, will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Right off the bat, we understand that Abraham has a little bit of knowledge of God, that God is not going to treat the righteous and the wicked the same. So, Lord, I have this dilemma here. So you're going, your people, your angels, I know they're angels, you know, because they're pretty, you know, they're angels. I know what they're up to. I know what you're up to, God, and they're going away, and God has, you've told me, but are you really going to do this? You know, sometimes in prayer, it's okay to ask questions, you know. In fact, you're like, where do I start with prayer? Sometimes it's just asking questions. God, why is this happening, right? That's okay. In fact, God almost invites that. Hey, yeah, ask away, right? But Abraham is in this vital position. We have God with him. We know this is God. The text calls it the Lord. It's Yahweh. We know these other men. And these men are going on to Sodom. And here's Abraham. You have God, you have Abraham, and then you have Sodom. And it isn't Sodom, it's just some wicked people, and maybe there's some righteous people. God, will you destroy the whole wicked place, and there's righteous people there? Abraham is in such a vital position as a believer in Christ. You know something? The most important thing we can do is be people of prayer. Be people who call out on God. Now let's. We had an election, right? Your prayers are more powerful than any election will ever be. Don't put your hope in elections. Don't put your hope in man to lead you out of this whatever the chaos is. Because all men are the same. We're all fallen. We're all sinful. No matter what political party you are, guess what? They're in need of Jesus. And you and I, as believers, have a more prominent position, a more important position in this world than any election or any votes or anything else, is being on our knees before Almighty God interceding for the Sodoms of this world. When you pray and you're a child of Jesus, you're a child of the Lord, God hears that. You pray instantly, right? It's like we said, it's the red bat phone, you know? Commissioner Gordon, you know, it's the president. No, it's the Lord God Almighty. You are, and no matter who you are, you don't have to be up here to be, You could be a person that nobody has ever seen before, but you're a person of prayer, and oh boy, you have the presence of God just comes down when you start talking. That's my child. I want you to, if there's anything you get out of this, what we're seeing, it is the position that the Christian has, that you and I have, the vital position before God Almighty to intercede for the Sodomites and the Lots of this world. That's all you get. That's it. You and I serve a phenomenal position. Now, of course, prayer and being in this position, this has its challenges, right? You know, it's like, well, what do I say? How does this work, right? I'm a pastor, and I still say, Lord, I don't know how to pray. I don't know what I'm doing. I go on my face before God and say, Lord, I don't even know what words to say. I need help. How do you approach this? Does it even work, right? I don't see anything happen, right? At least if I, you know, the signal works. Oh, the TV is going in clear. The signal's working, right? I don't know if I'm praying. If you pray, there's no interruption of signal. But Lord, I don't see what's happening. It's like, keep sending those prayers that reach heaven before the blink of an eye. It's like at the speed of thought, or faster than if there's faster than you could think. And who am I? I don't wear a collar. But guess what? If you're a child of God, you have a, listen, don't give up, because somebody in Sodom is counting on you to pray for them. I'm not Abraham. Why should I pray? You have no idea. We will get to heaven. I think God will show us now, child of God. When you pray this, when you encourage somebody, you have no idea what God is doing in the heavenly realm, but trust that God is using it. Now, when we look at Abraham, we know first, for one thing, he has this relationship with God. So that's vital, right? Having this relationship with God and knowing that what God is like. God, you're not unjust. You're righteous. So I have this dilemma. How do I reconcile what I see that I think you're doing with what I know about you? Here's how you pray intelligently. You spend time in the Word of God and understand what God's... The more you understand the nature of God, the more fine-tuned your prayers can be. Lord, you are just. You're righteous. You're good. And you're good. Abraham has as his goal, I believe his full goal, and this is the goal of all prayer, is the glory of God. Lord, do not act in such a way that would not be glorifying to you. Later on, Moses will pray the same way. He'll pray in the book of Exodus. Let me turn there real fast. Exodus 32. He says, Exodus 32. I can't speak English. This is after the Israelites made this golden calf, and he says, then Moses entreated the Lord his God and said, O Lord, why does your anger burn against your people whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt? This is Exodus 32:11. Whom you have brought out of the land of Egypt with great power and with a mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians speak, saying, with evil intent he brought them out to kill them in the mountains, so to destroy them from the face of the earth? Turn from your burning and anger and change your mind about doing harm to your people. Remember Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, that's Jacob, Israel, your servants to whom you have sworn by yourself and said to them, I will multiply your descendants as the star of the heavens, and all this land which I have spoken, I will give to your descendants, and they will inherit it from forever. So the Lord changed his mind about the harm. Moses is like, remember what you said to Abraham? Remember you said you would give them? And yeah, they're giving you a hard time, but don't destroy them, because guess what? The Egyptians and the Russians will say, hey, that God can't handle people who have a hard time, right? And some of us are like those people, right? We give God a hard time, and God's patient with us. And he says, you know, and God, and Abraham says, remember your promises, Lord. Remember what you said. In fact, we want to pray consistently, be in God's word, say, Lord, do what thou hast said. Do what you have said. Act according to who you are and do what you said. Right? Abraham is concerned with God's reputation. Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? And I love what God is allowing here. You notice how God is just, you just get the scene that God is almost allowing Abraham to discover and grow deeper in his knowledge of God. Because initially, Abraham has said, I'm holding the righteousness of God. But by the end, Abraham will have learned of the mercies of God. Watch this. He goes, if there's 50 people, well, 50 people is not a lot. I don't know how big Sodom and Gomorrah was, but 50 people is not a lot. 50 righteous people. It's interesting how Abraham says, well, so what, there's 50. We read this, and we read it in a matter of like 2 minutes. But I imagine if he says 50, and God says, no, I won't. I imagine that Abraham kind of just pondered upon that. 50, okay, all right. I can't think of 50 righteous people in Sodom, so I better keep going, right? What is 45? What is 40, right? And this process of prayer, where Abraham is then learning of not just, he knows the righteous and justice of God, he's now begins to learn of the mercy of God. I will spare the entire place if I find 10 righteous people. You see that? Prayer is meant to bring glory to God, but prayer is also meant to grow you in relationship with God. The purpose of prayer is to change you, not to change God. Abraham is concerned with the reputation of God. He prays, Lord, let it be that people know that you're a righteous God. Now, what is prayer? What's required here is this relationship with God, this walk with God, this understanding for God. But here, Abraham, as a prototype, as a person who's going to intercede, he has to not just, he's concerned with the glory of God, and that's all prayers about the glory of God. But he's also concerned with people, right? You see Abraham as this one who intercedes, because he cares for people. He's concerned for the Lots, but also the Sodomites, I believe. And Israel is reading this, and Israel, as the immediate children, are reading this and saying, we're to be the same way. And as believers in Jesus, we have as children of Abraham, are to also be the same. We may be the thing that stands in the difference, right? As we point people to Jesus, as we pray and intercede for those who are far from God, we want God to be glorified. And God is glorified in his justice, but he's also glorified in his mercy. I was reading this and just kind of just like, Lord, I want to become a person of prayer where I begin to learn and grow in my knowledge of God, and that happens in time with him. It takes time. As a Christian, we are called to be people of prayer. People of the Word, but people of prayer. A prayerless Christian is a walking contradiction. You can't, if you want to grow in your relationship with the Lord, it has to be time. Abraham has walked with God, and now he's staying with God, and because of that, there's a difference here. Notice how Abraham, I love this. So God almost is, in the time of prayer, God invites more. But watch this. When Abraham says, will you destroy the whole place? Because if I only find 50 people that are righteous, no, I won't destroy the place of 50. But notice that God doesn't say, well, in fact, Abraham, if go down to 10 and I'll do the same thing. But notice how God doesn't even do that. He goes, he meets him where his prayer is at, right? 50? Sure, 50. 44. And through that, God allows that discovery and that deeper knowledge of himself. Does that make sense? At the beginning, 50 sound like a lot, and Abraham is sheepishly down to 10, and God is just as merciful, even more so. Abraham, of course, is persistent in this. He keeps going. He's only going to be satisfied when he gets to the point where he realizes God's going to act righteously and justly, but also mercifully. See, that's one thing. You can't pit the attributes of God against himself. You can't say God is only just and not righteous and merciful and loving. So he's all that, and God will display all that. Abraham, of course, as a picture of the intercessor Christian, has a persistence in his prayer. He is persistent. And this conversation where he's concerned with the glory of God, but he's also concerned with people. He's concerned with the glory of God, but he's concerned with people. So he knows he's got this dilemma. God, you're not going to destroy the righteous with the wicked, but at the same time, I realize that he's wrestling, right? How many of us have wrestled with God? He's wrestling. I think I'm sometimes I don't know what to start with, and sometimes I feel like I'm just talking at God. You ever feel like you're just talking at God? Right? Just, and sometimes it's just a matter of getting to know the Lord's heart. And that comes with time. That comes with time with him. That comes with time in his word. And I see in the account of Abraham, one who is a friend of God, as we said last week, one who's a friend of God, who understands the ways of God, and he so wants his friend to be glorified. And he's committed to that. So what does it require for us being a prayer intercessor? It requires, of course, that we have this knowledge of the character of God. It requires that we have a concern for the lost. It requires a commitment to see this through. It requires also confidence that God will, of course, hear our prayers. And the confidence comes with relationship. So it's all tied together, right? We're here on a Sunday morning, and I pray to God that your walk with God isn't just Sunday mornings where you drop in your little coin in the offering basket, or not coin, or your little prayers. I pray that it's a daily 24/7 relationship, because no matter where you go, God's with you. And he's always open to hear. And now is the time to begin to have that relationship, to be like the Abrahams of the world. And we as the people of God have this position before God that we can change the world through our prayers. Prayer that changes the world. Prayer that helps the people who are lost. Prayer that gives us God's perspective on things. Prayer that gives us God's heart for people. It's all about prayer. It's all about that time with the Lord. And I'm just forgetting about my notes. Just speaking to my heart, you know, speaking from my heart. You know, because this is something I struggle with, you know. This is something I you know, I pray, Lord, make me a man of prayer. Make me somebody who has that, you know. And because I believe in it. I believe Jesus, who prays more than anybody else, and who is such a person of prayer that the disciples didn't say, teach us to do miracles, God. Teach us to walk on water. No, they say, teach us how to pray. Because there's something about that you have this, you know him. You know the Father. He isn't like just some theoretical person to you. There's this relationship you have with God. That comes from time with him. That comes from honesty with him. That comes from that means just pouring out your heart. And ultimately, the purpose of prayer is not to change God, but is to change you and me. We're not sometimes like, I pray, but God already knows what I'm going to say. God already knew Abraham was going to go down to 10 when he was at 50, right? 50, 45, keep going, Abraham, come on, keep going, right? Keep going. You ever know, you know, that's how God is. He allows Keep going. Don't give up now. Don't give up now. Your prayers. Because why? Because now at the end of it, realize, oh, God is more merciful than I realize. This whole place would be spared with just 10? Think about that. Watch this. Abraham is praying for Gentile, non-believing nations. He's already become a blessing to the world by praying for them. You and I, as believers and children of Jesus Christ, are called to be the Abrahams, to be in that vital place of prayer between God and the Sodomites and Lots of this world. I throw in Lot because we'll talk about Lot next week. Believers who are stuck in it, right? Just stuck in the tar of Sodom, who are in the darkness, who are sort of, they're not going anywhere, but God has a purpose for them. And I can't, it's God, it's Abraham, it's Sodom, it's God, it's Jesus Christ, it's us. Jesus Christ, pray for us. Jesus Christ prayed in thy garden. Father, I don't pray just for my disciples, I pray for those who will believe, John 17, right? Who will believe through their word. They'll believe. You and I are here because we've read the words of the disciples, right? And Jesus Christ, who stood in that gap between God and us, prayed for us. We stand in the same place. It's at the cross, right? So when you stand, I don't have a ministry. Guess what? Your ministry is to pray. And to be that, and to appeal to God. It's a privilege. We're going to be sitting in heaven. There's going to be this big, huge banquet table, and we're going to be looking for the Billy Grahams and the famous Saint so and so and Saint so and so. And they're going to find some people near Jesus and say, "Who are they? Some little old lady who nobody knew, but they prayed. They prayed, and some." I mean, the nobodies were the prayer warriors in the closets and say, God says, these are the ones the ones that are standing in front had these people praying for them. Church, this is vital. We're called to pray. We're called to change the world by our prayers. And I pray that the aroma of the Lord that rubs off on you as your time with the Lord goes with you as you go out into the world, and they say, there's something different. You're not like the rest of them. And you walk humbly because you walk with God. We stand in this position. And Jesus Christ did the same thing. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. Father, I pray for them. They will believe through the words of the disciple. Father, may they be one as we are one. Father, Father, I pray that as you have called us to follow Jesus, and as Jesus has given his life as a sacrifice, he also taught us to pray, Lord. And let it be that we individually and we as a church would humble ourselves and cry out to you, Lord, and be like Abraham was for Lot and Sodom. May it be like Jesus was for us, Lord, that we would recognize how important our position of prayer is, Lord. That we would stand before you, God, in such a way that you hear our cry and that you answer our prayer, and that we discover and learn the grace and mercy of God that is not willing for any to perish but to all to come to repentance. You're a good God, Lord. Let it be, Lord, that the incense, the aroma of being in your presence would be so honest, Lord, and so impactful to us, Lord, the people would want what we have. The people would want the Jesus that we have. Not just the words and the deeds and the actions, but the relationship. I want to know that Jesus. There's something different about you because you know this God. Let it be so. Let our relationship with you be so something we hunger and thirst for, God. It gives us a hunger for more of you, Lord. Less of the fake things out there. Less of the idols, Lord. Forgive us for idols have come into our life. Idols that we turn to you for satisfaction. For idols that we turn to you for meaning and purpose. Forgive us, Lord. We smash those idols away, God, and we turn to you, Lord. Let it not be that we don't have any golden calves in our lives, Lord God. Forgive us for that. We remove those from our life, God. Let it be that we've walked with you, God, that we know you, God, and give us a hunger for more and more and more of you, Lord, and let us be satisfied with you only, Lord. In Jesus' name, God, we pray. Amen.